advisement. Flynak against the Chicago Transit Authority is our next case.
May it please the court?
Mr. Myers.
Yes, Judge. If I may. Oh, hello, Judge. First, I have to give thanks and apologies. I really have to thank this court. The patience that this court has shown me in this case has just been tremendously reasonable. The case could not have proceeded had you not been as accommodating as you've been. The district court was also very reasonable with me.
You need to address the merits.
Yes.
I'm assured.
It is.
I'll start you off, Mr. Myers, okay?
Yes, Judge.
The district court held that the arguments based on the right to travel and the equal protection clause were forfeited because they weren't properly developed. So I am wondering where you address that basis for dismissal in your brief.
I don't believe I specifically addressed that particular issue in the equal protection part of the brief, but I also don't agree that we waived. I'm of the opinion that equal protection does stand as briefed and as in the complaint. There's enough there, so to speak, that it does hold up and that the class can be developed. Under equal protection, as I understand it, you need not only to have the class being of poor people in this example, but also you need the fundamental right. And I believe in this case we have both the fundamental right and the class defined properly. That's equal protection. Now, the reason I'm here, I have not been in this courtroom ever. I was licensed 30 years ago. I haven't done an oral argument in over 20 years. I do real estate. I do construction. That's what I do. But the reason I'm here is because of my father. He was the one who taught me. He was a lawyer, first up lawyer in America. And he brought me here and he said, you got to be licensed. And they say you have to uphold and defend the Constitution. So I used to be a goalie and I take that to what it means. In this case, I thought about it for months, even I think years. But there seems to be no question that under the Constitution, CTA has simply gone a bridge too far. They are absolutely, without question, beyond all known case law. They are
simply out. You raised an equal protection claim alleging discrimination based on a class of poverty. Setting aside the lack of legal support for such a claim, was that claim raised in the district court?
District court? You know, I don't recall. I believe it was, but I don't really remember for sure.
Okay.
But I point out that recent evidence shows that under poverty, black and Spanish people seem to be generally summarily included, just so you know. I bring you one more case. I have many cases quoted. This is a subsidiary case. It's the state of New York versus the United States, an old case, 342 U.S. 882. And the only reason I bring it up, it's got a nice quote at the end. Maybe I get to it, maybe I don't. But that case basically says that the amount that the train charges for the interstate versus the intrastate has to be balanced in the same. You have to figure it out. They each have to pay their share. In this case, the facts and the law seem to keep changing. In a car accident case, you break the car, it's $10,000. It's a finite amount. But here in the case, all the numbers are changing. The law is changing. The facts are changing. For example, last Christmas, Uber got permission to go out to O'Hare and pick up people for $5. That's new fact, and that affects the regulation of the airport. So it kind of plays into it. And then yesterday in the paper, I read that Trump and Ricketts, the Cubs, are getting into it. And that's a new fact. You might say, well, what's that got to do with the airport, the CTA, and all that? But it does. If Donald Trump decides to be mayor of Chicago as a consolation prize, and him and Ricketts get into it, both billionaires, what's going to happen to the CTA? I'll stop at Addison Avenue. Will it be $10 ball game days only? And what about Devon Avenue? He says he likes the Muslims, but maybe they're going to put a security guard on that bus, and now that bus is going to be $10 too. And maybe those people stay in the political solution. They'll come back. They'll vote for a new mayor. And maybe, like the 70s, there'll be the white flight, and they'll all move out up the road. Which will it be? I don't know. Does it have to be? I come back.
Thank you, counsel. Ms. Kapp.
Thank you. May it please the court, my name is Rachel Kaplan and I represent the CTA. I'd like to start off by answering Judge Rovner's question, which was asked earlier, and that is whether or not plaintiffs asserted a poverty class. They did not. It was not asserted in their amended complaint, and that's why it was not addressed in the district court's decision. Plaintiff's complaint was properly dismissed here because they did not assert any claims under the right to travel, the Equal Protection Clause, or the Dormant Commerce Clause. The CTA will address each of those claims, beginning with the Dormant Commerce Clause. The Dormant Commerce Clause does not even apply here because the CTA was a market participant. The CTA provided a service, the use of the Blue Line from the O'Hare Station to the city for a fee. In that respect, it was just like the Ensley case, where this court deemed that the city of Chicago was a market participant because it provided access to the Skyway for a fee. Therefore, the Dormant Commerce Clause, excuse me? Yes.
What was the reasoning given by the CTA for exempting O'Hare employees from the surcharge?
Your Honor, there is nothing in the record about that issue. However, presumably those O'Hare employees were exempt because they were required to travel frequently to and from the airport for their jobs, and also because they were in all likelihood low-earning individuals. And just because the O'Hare employees were exempt does not mean that in-state individuals were in any way favored. O'Hare employees can be in-staters or out-of-staters. It's quite possible that an O'Hare employee lives, for example, in Wisconsin. So it doesn't necessarily result in any kind of interstate or out-of-state preference. Turning back to the Dormant Commerce Clause, in addition to the CTA being a market participant, which makes the Dormant Commerce Clause completely inapplicable here, plaintiffs have not asserted any burden on interstate commerce. The plaintiffs were already in the state of Illinois when they took the O'Hare Blue Line, so their right to interstate travel was not at all impaired. Plus, both plaintiffs here had other transit options from O'Hare. They elected to take the CTA. However, they could have taken a cab, they could have taken PACE, they could have taken Metro. They chose not to. And at the very most, the surcharge presented an incidental burden, especially when you compare it to the likely cost of Lennox's plane ride from Nevada into Illinois or Jonky's price of her car rental at O'Hare. Unless the court would like, I will not go into depth on the equal protection or the right to travel claims because, as the district court found, both of those claims were forfeited because they were so underdeveloped in both facts and law. Mm-hmm. If there
Thank
are no further questions,
much.
The CTA asked this court to affirm the district court. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything further, Mr. Myers?
Yes, sir.
This case affects not only the right to travel. It's got other rights stuck in there. For example, it's got the right to associate. When the bum goes to O'Hara to use the bathroom, to go look at the museum out there, to visit with the Asian girls coming in from China, that's his right to associate. been all kinds of cases. One of them says you have the right to associate in a law school. The guy said he wanted to go to, I think it was Harvard, something like that, and they said, yeah, no difference. Well, he says, no, I want to go there so I can meet the other people. Right to associate kind of comes up in this. The guys can go to Midway, but they can't go here. It costs more to associate. And then you got one more association, the freedom of religion. That Amish kid from the Witness movie, if he goes to visit his uncle, and then he goes to O'Hara, and then he has to go to Union Station, that's interstate traffic. He can't use no cars, no gas for him. It's a religious thing. But he's part of the group. He's part of everybody. So it's more of a burden on him than others. That Amish kid, he got to walk out maybe. My dad used to work Sears Tower. The Amish kids walked up to the top of Sears Tower all damn day. Day after day. So maybe that kid's got to walk that 5 miles, 1.5 hour walk out of there if his dad gets upset about that 275. Those Amish are kind of funny that way, but they're part of this too. So there's ripples in this, I notice. Now, let's talk about the case itself, the cases. Not all of them, I got too many cases. Well, let's look at this case as being like a building a bridge. You got the ramp at this end, the ramp at this end, the fax at this end, the damages at that end. Those parts are easy to fix. The damages, the jury comes in, $300,000, should be $100,000. You can fix that. The facts over here, the guy said it was a left turn, right turn. You can fix that. But the construction of the bridge in the middle, all that, that's what's important. That's what holds it all together. And you might notice that in this case, I got a case for pretty much every support beam there is. Builders, you know. If you go through it real quick, if I remember correctly, it's not interstate traffic, lots of cases. It is. There's no federal right to the train, lots of cases. The Rosa Parks case, lots of cases. You charge for the service, rather it's a tax. There's a tax for the service, lots of cases to figure out which is which. Is the service cost reasonable? Lots of cases. I just quoted one. It's got to be reasonable. I think I quoted you three. That the subsidiary has to be reasonable in light of the other charge. Three cases quoted on that. They quote, the only case the CTA quotes in their favor is the Department of Kentucky case, which is an off-point case. It does not involve a fundamental right. It involves government fundamental rights. On a pendulum, citizens' rights are over here. The government rights are over here. Well, we're over here, and their case is over there. That's called off-point. I love you, too. So they have no case to support. I've got, I think I lost count. I got 8 or 10 cases to support that bridge, just so you know. And no misses. No misses. And then the exception, the exemption. This exemption is just terrible. Interstate problems, all kinds of problems. If it's a true exemption, if they're real CTA employees, the cost would be zero. That's what CTA employees pay when they go to work at the L. Zero. So this is not zero. This is $225. That's called a friend and favor, family favor. A benefit. It's something else. But it's not a clear, pure exemption. It's just not. And the judge very clearly asked, why? Political favor. That's right. That's a good answer. The exemption creates terrible hostilities. It does all the things the Commerce Clause is tending for us to not have happen. Arguments counts, people. Oh,
the case will be taken under advisement.